This is Taking On Sports with the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. Today I'm riding solo as I take on the Lions blowing the NFC title game. All right, it's late Monday evening as I record this, and while you guys are listening to this probably Tuesday morning, I still have not gotten over this, and even as you're listening to this, I still have not gotten over the Lions losing. This is the worst sports loss of my lifetime. I'm a Tigers fan first, a Michigan fan probably second, Lions fan third, but they're really, really close, second and third. And then it goes into, you know, every other sports team after that. So I'm not as big of a fan. There might be some key losses for the Pistons or for the Red Wings, but I'm just not big enough fan for it to really stand out. And the Lions have had some doozies, no doubt about that, but nothing like this. The only thing that compares to this, even with Michigan losing to, you know, the JT was short Ohio State game, doesn't matter. In comparison to this, the only thing that I could think that possibly compared to how I felt yesterday was the Armando Galarraga perfect game. That was the only thing that I could think that came even close to how devastated I was last night and the devastation I still somewhat feel today. But even with the Galarraga thing, the reason this Lions thing is worse is because the Galarraga thing. They did everything right. It just got taken away from them by an official who then immediately apologized. For this, it was the Lions had everything go their way and still couldn't get it done. Because the players were only asked to do things they had done for 19 games before this one. They were 14-5 coming into this one. They weren't asked to do anything more than what they've been told to do all year. And the players didn't do it. I'm going to talk about Dan Campbell. I'm going to talk about the game plan, but to me, this game begins and ends with players not making plays. I kept saying the entire second half, somebody make a play. Somebody act like you're going to have some fight to stop what San Francisco was doing in that second half. And nobody did. The Lions played scared in the second half. I didn't hear Hutch's name in the second half. I didn't hear it. Aleem McNeil made a play, right? He got a sack. Good. He made a play. Vildor had an interception go off his face that I'm not entirely sure that if he doesn't pick it, if they don't rule that pass interference, but they let the play stand literally because IU caught it anyway. I think they picked up the flag because Vildor dropped it. I look at all the missed tackles. They had a season high in missed tackles. That's not the secondary. I said all year, don't ask the secondary to play better because we know who they are. So I didn't. You're not going to hear me get in here and complain about not covering Debo or Kittle or Ayuk. It's not what you're going to hear from me. And that Vildor interception was just an unfortunate play. It's, again, not something you're going to hear me bring up a lot. But let's go back to the beginning. I was watching the game with my wife and my parents. And I said when the Lions were going to get the ball first, don't do something dumb. Don't come out on the first play and run some type of play-action pass looking deep to J-Mo. And they didn't. They did what they were supposed to do. They ran the ball with David Montgomery and got San Francisco back on their heels and timed it perfectly to hand the ball off for a touchdown to Jamison Williams, who, by the way, ran angry and a great play. I don't love the way Jamison Williams has played as the Lion. But the guy blocks tough, he runs tough, he just needs to learn how to run routes and how to kind of not be dumb. If he can learn how to mature as a football player, Jamison Williams is going to become a big deal. But right now, he just doesn't make enough big plays without the ball in his hand. When you get him on an end around, he's really good. But he has yet to make kind of that big time catch. He had that one against Tampa Bay early in the year, but you've really yet to have, I guess, a few big time plays that make you really see that he's figuring it out. Anyway, the Lions perfectly run the first drive. Boom, 7-0. Boom, missed field goal. Boom, 14-0. And at the end of the first half, it's 24-7. And that's where we can essentially stop talking about the first half, mainly because you watch the game. You don't need a play-by-play. So let's go to the second half. The Lions, again, only give up a field goal on the first possession. That's a win, right? Did everybody else feel the same way I did? Where when it went from 24-7 to 24-10, it felt like an absolute win because nothing had stopped the Lions in the first half. They had one punt. One. Other than that, nothing stopped them. They scored on every other possession. Every single possession the rest of the way. So I felt pretty good that the Lions were going to get the ball, go down the field, and score. And unfortunately, the second half turned into an absolute nightmare in the third quarter. Is there a worse stretch than that one right there to start the third quarter? So let's go to it. Let's go to that first drive of the third quarter. This is the one that ended with Jared Goff throwing just a little low and outside of Josh Reynolds, but a ball that he catches all year. And that's my problem. These guys were not asked to do anything they weren't asked to do all year. And Josh Reynolds drops that ball. Now, Goff has to step up away from pressure. He gets a little skittish and he throws one low and outside. But that's a ball that Reynolds catches. I mean, you go look at the sideline. When they showed Reynolds on the sideline, he's talking to the wide receiver coach who's telling him, catch it with your hands, man. Catch it with your hands. Don't bring it in like you're trying to cup it in. You're off to the side of it. Catch it with your hands. Okay, he doesn't do it. Okay, fine. But obviously a lot of people were mad that Dan Campbell decided to go for it on that 4th-and-3, right? Rather than kick a 48-yarder. And while Badgley has been pretty good with the Lions over the last couple of years, there's a reason he never had a full-time job. Because it's just not, he doesn't seem like a kicker who you're going to fully trust. Nor should you fully trust him. Michael Badgley from 48 plus yards in his career is 9 of 20. 9 of 20 on 48 plus yarders. Again, now while decent with the Lions, this is the guy you have to trust in the NFC title game. Or you can go to the Lions, who were 15 of 20 in the regular season and 2 for 2 in the postseason. So 17 of 22 when it was 4th-and-3 or fewer when they went for it. 17 of 22. 17 of 22. What are you taking? A career under 50%er with a guy who has been good lately, but not a huge sample size with the Lions. Or are you going to take the guys who you've had all year, who are 15 of 20 and 17 of 22 overall? And not to mention, you're Dan Campbell. The guy who we're riding and dying with. We're here because Dan Campbell built this culture and played the way this team plays. And now all of a sudden we're sitting here saying he made the wrong decision to not kick that and go up 17 in the third quarter? Really? We're counting possessions in the third quarter? Really? This is fans asking for something to be mad at. This is fans who are scared. I want to watch the Lions play football. This is the way the Lions play football. I love the way Dan Campbell coaches, and he coached it correctly. He made the right decision. He can say in his post-game press conference, oh, in hindsight, maybe I wouldn't do it. But no, and then he said he didn't regret it because he knows that the odds were in his favor. And he knows that if the guys he's depended on all year made plays, The Lions would have won that game. The Lions would have done it. And why that third quarter drop is so huge is because San Francisco did settle for a field goal. And if the Lions go and score there, and they make it 31-10, you could convince me, and convince a lot of people, I'm sure, that San Francisco would have said, there's nothing we can do. We can't stop these guys. They have one punt. We can't stop them. And they would have kind of shut it down a little bit. And the Lions could have just pressed the pedal to the metal and won the game 48-24. But instead, Reynolds drops it. And we have to move on. But also, all of you people who are mad that Dan Campbell didn't have Michael Badgley under 50% from that range, go out there and kick it. How would you feel today if he missed? What would you have said? What would you have put on Twitter? What would you be calling local radio shows saying? Here, let me tell you. I can tell you right now what you would have been saying. Dan Campbell should have gone for it on that fourth down that led to the missed kick. He should have gone for it. He lost his mojo. He was coaching scared. What happened to big Dan Campbell? Go for it. That's what you would have said, and probably exactly in that voice. If they missed it, that's what you would have said. So here are your options. You're going to be mad about two out of these three options. A 60% chance of converting that doesn't work. A under 50% chance of a kicker making it from that range and missing it. Or an under 50% chance of someone making it and they make it. Those were it. Because we know what did happen, the drop, so I can't say if he catches it, you'd been happy. We know what happened. He dropped it. Or you have the other two options of if they would have kicked it, what would have happened? And there's a greater possibility he missed it, and you would all be pissed. Every single one of you who's sitting here hoping that I rip Dan Campbell. Every one of you would have been livid that they didn't go for it. On 4th-and-3, especially when you would have seen the stat that they were 75% in the regular season and 17 of 22 overall when they go for it on 4th-and-3, then you would all be so mad and you'd be posting that stat like crazy. So I don't want to hear about 4th-and-3 in the third quarter. I don't want to hear it. Dan Campbell made what? The decision Dan Campbell made every single time this year. And now you're mad at it. Because it didn't work. It was the right decision. Be mad at the players who didn't execute. Not Dan Campbell. So that third quarter obviously is a big deal. Because it leads to then another touchdowns, 24-17. And then Jahmyr Gibbs fumbles the ball. Jahmyr Gibbs fumbles on the 1 yard line. And that's where I really, or on the first play I should say. And that's where I really started to get worried. When it's 24-17 and you fumble the ball. I am nervous at this point. But I'm such a positive fan. Anybody here who knows me or anybody who's picked up this pod and has listened, I am usually the positive guy, positive fan. And even while watching this game, I was positive. I was saying, okay, all you have to do is score on this possession and everything will go back to normal. That's the great thing about football is they have to give you the ball back. And you get to control the clock when you make a mistake in the third quarter or early fourth quarter. They have to give you the ball back. This isn't basketball where the run just seems to pile up on you. This isn't baseball where if you can't get guys out, they just get to keep hitting. This is football. They got to give you the ball back. And the Lions could not find an answer. They couldn't do it. And then Gibbs fumbles. And so it's 24-24 because a rookie made a mistake. And I don't have a lot to say about a rookie making a mistake. But it's 24-24. And it gets to the fourth quarter. And I'm like, great. The Lions are a fourth quarter team. And I thought, man, here we go. Okay, we choked this far. Even San Francisco kicks the field goal, make it 27-24. I'm like, great. They kicked a field goal. Let's go. We're going to score a touchdown now and win it. And we get to 4th-and-3 again. Tie it or go for it? Yet again, Dan Campbell makes the correct decision. And yet again, Josh Reynolds tries to catch the ball with his ribs. Josh Reynolds, the safety blanket for Jared Goff for his entire career, has failed again. I'm not asking for any punishment of Josh Reynolds. I'm not asking for anybody to message Josh Reynolds and blame him for anything. He's not the sole person to blame. The defense wasn't great. Hutch didn't make plays. Goff could have thrown back. All these things. But the two big plays, and heck, Gibbs fumbled, two out of the three biggest plays, were drops by Josh Reynolds. One of them, you could say, was a tough one. This one was not. The fourth quarter one was not tough. It just wasn't hard. And that's when heartbreak started to set in. At this point, I was no longer sitting. I was up pacing. And there was the big third down scramble by Brock Purdy on that drive. The ensuing drive as San Francisco would punch it in for what would be the game-clinching touchdown. They would just rip the hearts out of Detroit fans. Brock Purdy scrambling out of that when it was 3rd-and-5 and fringe field goal range, possibly punt range. Lions get the ball back with a chance to go. And it doesn't work. Lions lose 34-31. They get a late touchdown from Jamison Williams. With a few seconds left, they get a great onside kick. Just landed a yard short. I mean, just a yard short. And or else it would have been right on the 10-yard mark, and you know the Lions got a hand on it, and who knows, maybe something fun happens. But as I look at Dan Campbell and this team, because Dan Campbell's the conversation point today, he gets a B+ for the game. You know, he didn't find a way to stop the bleeding, and that I blame him for. But the fourth down plays, they were there. The fourth down plays were there. They were the right decisions. I'm not counting possessions in the third quarter. That's playing prevent defense on offense. What does prevent defense do? Prevent you from winning. Because you allow yards. Heck, the Lions only had a chance because of prevent defense. Because San Francisco backed off. Kicking a field goal there is prevent offense. It's not the way the Lions play. And I'm fine with that. I thought the offensive game plan was great early on. But the trick plays, I thought, were weird. I thought the double pass was weird. I thought the flea flicker was weird. Why? Why do those things? You're winning with outside zone. I said on last week's pod, I didn't think this was going to be a David Montgomery game. And I was flat out wrong. Monty was the guy. And when you saw that was happening, I know San Francisco stopped it a couple of times, but I think you could consistently say we need to keep powering the football. I'd rather have the game in the hands of the offensive line rather than the game in the hands of Jared Goff. I like Goff. As long as they signed a reasonable extension with him this summer, I'll be happy he's back in the Honolulu Blue next year. But this was a David Montgomery game, and the offense got weird. Flea flickers. Double passes. That's not what we see. The types of trick plays the Lions run is end-arounds and throwing it to offensive linemen. That's, if you want to get crazy, do that. The Lions don't move the ball down the field like that. We've run flea flickers this year, and they've worked. Like, we've done things like this, but double pass like Michigan ran against Alabama, that we don't run. We run the double reverse, flip it back to Goff, and then he throws it. It works like a quick pass where Goff doesn't have to really move around. That double pass is so... Everybody knows it. Everybody knows that pass. They know what it looks like. I didn't like those. The Lions were better than that. We're better than trick plays. That's what underdogs do. That's what teams who don't think they can just line up and win do. The offensive game plan wasn't great. it was, I mean, up and down. Sometimes it was A+, sometimes it was C+. And by the way, I've gone now 20 minutes here and I haven't given credit to the 49ers. That's a great team. And this is why I wanted to play the 49ers, because I wanted the Lions to play the best. And I wanted them to beat the best. And in the half that doesn't matter as much, they did. But in the half that matters more, they didn't. And they really didn't. So, the Lions wrap up their season 14-6. That's pretty good. 14-6. We have one of the best front offices in football when it comes to drafting. We could use some better pro scouting, but when it comes to drafting, I trust this team, and the Lions are going to have, what, the either 29th or 30th pick, right? And it should be because the Ravens run out, they should be picked 29, and then the Ravens will be 30, and then whoever loses the Super Bowl with 31, and the winner, of course, 32. So we'll have pick 29. I expect them to get a good player at 29. It's what they do. And it might not have the best positional value, but screw your positional value. The Lions got where they got because they drafted a running back at 12, a middle linebacker at 18. They drafted a safety and a tight end in the early second. They don't care about your positional value. They care about Lions value. Lions value running backs, tight ends, smart linebackers, and safeties who they can bring off blitzes. They don't care what you believe. Brad Holmes doesn't care. He cares about what he knows about his football team and the way this team coaches. A lot of guys are going to be back next year because this team is so young. Everybody talked about how young the Packers are, and they are. But the Lions are pretty darn young too, especially at the key positions. The offensive line is aging. Taylor Decker, who knows how much he has left? Ragnow, who knows how much he has left? That's, you know, two key positions. I would look at drafting offensive line pretty soon because you need guys who are going to fill in those spots. But the offensive line's starting to get up there, and you can't depend on it every year as much as you do the year before. But Goff is still going to be the quarterback. It's still going to be David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Still going to be Sam Laporta. It's still going to be Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They could use another wide receiver weapon. They could use one more. So take a load off of the tight end a little bit. Gives you another option. We have Reynolds as a safety blanket and have him out there, but they could use another big-time receiver. They could use, obviously, a ton of defense. Ali McNeil's nice. Hutch is nice. But they need a lot more. Obviously in the secondary and in the pass rush. There was just not enough pass rush on Purdy. We need more. We need to have guys relentlessly being thrown at teams. That's what the good defenses do. They send multiple guys at you, not just your starter. You need to have guys who aren't starting, who can get pass rush. The Lions tried when we were the Detroit Patriots. We had a ton of edge rushers. The two Okoras, Charles Harris. We had guys coming off the end, the older guys we signed, Flowers, and add whoever you want in. The Lions tried to have a bunch of edge rush talent. It just didn't work out as well. This team should be back. But I also can't guarantee they win the NFC North next year. The Packers look pretty good. I thought the Packers were just flat out good. They're going to be back. They won't surprise anybody anymore, but that's going to be a battle. Kirk Cousins is going to be back. And no matter what you think of him, Kirk Cousins is usually there at the end of the year, at least competing. He's right there for a playoff spot usually. And we'll see what the Bears do. I don't have a ton of faith in the Bears being any good, but we'll see what they do. They could be interesting. They have a lot of power. They have the number one pick. There's a lot that they could do. The NFC North could be really good next year. So it's no guarantee the Lions even make it. I think this team is so young and so well coached that they will be, but they really need to use this loss as motivation. They need to use this loss as a tool, like Michigan has with what are you doing to beat Ohio State today? Every TV, every sign, everything up on the wall should be either a loop of the San Francisco game, a couple of big plays, or the score. That all should be up there. Dan Campbell, I understand he loves his players, and he's hard on them. He is. But it's time to really get after these guys and find a way to win the big ones. They won a couple of playoff games this year. Happiest I've ever been. They've done a lot. They're probably a year ahead of schedule. But if this year you're a year ahead of schedule, that means in 2025, or what is 2024 fall leading into 2025, you're no longer a year ahead of schedule. You're on schedule. And it's time to start talking about making it to the final game of the season. It's hard to do. If the Lions don't win, make it to the Super Bowl next year, it's not a failure of a season. But they need to be right there. If they lose a game late in the playoffs, okay. But they need to be in the conversation. Like how Philadelphia is. And San Francisco is. And up until the first round of the playoffs, Dallas is. Or in the AFC side, of course, Kansas City. In Baltimore. In Cincinnati. In Buffalo. It's time for the Lions to be there every year. And they have the infrastructure to do it. And while yesterday was devastating, it showed you that this team can compete with the big dogs. They're just three plays away. Three. A drop, a fumble, a drop. That's it. That's what separates the Lions from where they want to be. And so they have a year to clean that up. Bring in some defensive talent. And let's see what happens with the coaching staff. I'm a little nervous about who the offensive coordinator is going to be. Because remember, Dan Campbell's first offensive coordinator hire was Anthony Lynn. And it failed miserably. And it's no secret that the minute this brand new Lions thing started happening is when Ben Johnson took over play calling. When Ben Johnson was the offensive coordinator. Now, Dan Campbell took over the play calling at the end of that kind of first year, right? But when Ben Johnson was named the offensive coordinator and he got to coach and he got to draw up the game plans and draw up the system, that's when the Lions took off. So, yep, Anthony Lynn was bad. But that was his first hire. Now, Dan Campbell has a lot more experience, right? He should be smarter and know what's working. But I don't think that we're going to have the same coaching staff. Ben Johnson will be gone. Our passing game coordinators is looking for offensive coordinator opportunities. Who knows? Maybe Dan Campbell can tell him, hey, stick right here. Because Ben's going to be the head coach of the Commanders. And by the time you're listening to this, who knows? He might be the head coach of the Commanders already. Or Seattle. Or Aaron Glenn might be gone. And as much as I don't understand why Aaron Glenn is loved so much, why he's ranked the number one defensive coordinator by players? Something must be working, and it must just be the talent that's not there, that you just can't win with this talent. Must be. I mean, the Lions do score a lot of points, which means they are on defense a lot if you're scoring that easily. So, who knows? That might have something to do with it, too. But as this team goes forward, I don't have some sort of huge proclamation that they're going to win the title next year. I think there's a better chance that they miss the playoffs next year than it is that they win a title. Now, it is unacceptable if they miss the playoffs, and I'm not predicting they're going to miss the playoffs. My prediction is going to be that they win the North and that they're battling right there at the end again. There's work to be done, but the thing is there's a base to do it. We're not talking about resetting anymore, Lions fans. We're talking about how can we fill in the final pieces of the puzzle. And let's lock and load. And let's go take on the NFC North. Because as much as Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olsen sounded surprised that the Lions were looking good yesterday, none of us were. At least you shouldn't have been. I've been trying to say it on this podcast for weeks. This team isn't good. This team is right up there with the best in the league. Everything they do is what works in football. It may not work in Madden. But if you're a true football fan, like the people who are usually on this podcast are, they know this team is good. Really, really good. And they're going to be a tough out. As much as they are pessimistic, and as much as it annoys me, and guys will take shots at you, you're not here. They have reasons for not being here. But as much as they're pessimistic, they also understand where this team should be. Because what I didn't get yesterday, and one thing I applaud the people who I usually host the show with and who I've been friends with forever, is I have been Mr. Positive. Every single one of them took the 49ers yesterday, except my brother. Every single one of them took the Niners. And one thing I did not hear was I told you so. So guys, thank you for that. Because I was already sad and enraged enough. Appreciate the no I told you so's. But they know football. And while they're pessimistic, they also understand how good this team is. The Lions were the second best team in the NFC this year. They were. And they were good enough to be the first. But they were the second best team. Gives you something to shoot for. It's time to go be number one. Find Taking On Sports on all of our social media accounts. You can find us at Taking On Sports. We're both on Twitter and we're on Facebook as well. Plus, you can find us on Spotify, of course, listen to full episodes. Podbean as well. Remarkably popular, Podbean for us. So you can find us on all of that. And feel free to comment on our post with your ideas. What did we get wrong? What did we get right? What do you want us to talk about next? Because let's face it, football season's over. We got to find stuff to talk about. Tigers just signed Colt Keith to a 6-year extension. I could talk about that for a long time. Talk about the what that means that Scott Harris is signing players. I could do all of that. But from one devastated Lions fans to all of you, SOL's gone. SOL is buried. And honestly, let's bury brand new Lions. Let's bury them. Now they're just the Lions. It's no longer fun what the Lions are doing. Now it's just time to get down to business. It's time to set our goals, and hopefully the fans and the coaching staff are as angry as we are, front office too. Use it as motivation. Get better as people, just like as we want the Lions to get better as a team. I'm Brad Gressens, Taking On Sports.